It's time once again for the Worship Ministry Catalyst Podcast.
Worship Ministry Catalyst is a resource for all worship leaders and team members serving in the local church.
So take a seat at the table and join the conversation as we discuss all things worship, from team dynamics to technology and song selection.
And now it's time for the show.
Worship Ministry Catalyst Podcast, episode 224. And as you can see, smack dab in the middle of your screen, there is a strange person who has invaded the podcast. I'm going to kick it over to David to give us an intro of our special guest today.
Hey, good morning, everyone. Welcome. Happy post-Easter, whatever you feel the day after Easter. I don't know. I think some people feel depression. Some people feel excitement. Some people feel like the work is just beginning. I don't know where I am yet. We've got Brannon here this morning, Brannon Dempsey from Worship Team Training. And good morning, Brannon. How are you? Nice to have you.
Morning. Thanks for having me here. I'm great.
Yeah. So a few years ago, I reached out to Brannon, and then I think I lost contact. I think I dropped the ball somewhere along the way in following up. And but then last few months, I've been trying to reach out to some of those connections again and make touch, make contact. And so we were finally able to make the stars align and get things together. But Brannon, they have a lot of resources. They've been on YouTube for a long, long time. We're trying to figure out YouTube. I'm trying to figure out YouTube. I'm like the last of the game. Like Brannon, you know, they did it for a long time, and then they're like, they're past that now. Like, it's like, that's old news to us. For me, it's brand new news. But that was kind of how I came across them. But now they're focusing on their website. He was just sharing with us, worshipteamtraining.com. But Brannon, welcome. Maybe you could share a little bit with us this morning and our audience about yourself and about your site and about your ministry.
Sure. Hey, thanks, David and Joe, for having me here and your audience and listeners. It's great to be with you guys. Yeah, I started out as a volunteer, just like everybody else did 20, 30, 40 years ago, where the pastor finds out that you play guitar and you play keyboard and ask you to do the offering. And you look back and you're the worship pastor after, you know, a few years, and you kind of think, how did I get here and where am I going? And this ministry world is just crazy. So during that crazy time, a lot of great men and women had helped me and surrounded me with some really awesome wisdom, and through all my failures, through all my practices. And it's just like anything else, you learn through failure and you get better a bit at a time in what you do. And you love the journey as you do it. And that's been my start. I've done music since I was a kid at 5 years old, and playing drums, guitar, keyboard, all that stuff. And I did all my music education through high school and got into college and did my music degree, composition, performance, and then your master's. And you wonder kind of, why did I even invest this much money in a chair to sit down? And then completed that, worked with a lot of great folks and did a lot of training over in Southern California, Maranatha Music, Integrity, all those guys, and Saddleback Church, and just amazing, amazing multiculturals that I've been working with, amazing churches. And simply, I didn't plan on doing what I'm doing right now, which we never do because it's God's plan. But my mind, I thought that I was going to be either a worship leader or just to pursue music production of some sort and go on the road. And it wasn't until I was with Maranatha when my leaders came to me and my mentors and just said, hey, it's now time that you start training worship teams. And I'm like, you gotta be kidding, because I barely even know what I'm doing right now. But that was the whole point. They wanted me to learn under their wings. They wanted me to trust God into diving into a deep sea that you have no idea what you're doing. And when you look back through the Gospels and when you look back to the Old Testament, it's all the same. We tend to think, well, these guys in the Bible have it figured out because God told them and God was with them along the way. Well, true, God was with them, God told them, God was along the way, but they had the same hangups and scratching heads and running into a brick wall just like we do. And we tend to think sometimes that we're isolated which I've learned I'm not isolated to any of these problems. In fact, I just need to learn how to get better at my problems, get better at overcoming what those are, and just being real and just, you know, absorbing it and just like, yeah, you know, I'm human. Things fall apart, things break. And that's what ministry is. That's when we find the beauty of what God can do through all that. So during all those failures and during all those practices, it was like, okay, the next step was, well, they came back and said, okay, so not only you need to be training worship teams, but we mean that you do it on a national level. So that was another new step. And then I was commissioned to write a book on it, in which we called Worship Team Training. And great mentors in my life, Stan Endicott, Buddy Owens, Monte Kelso, all the way to Dr. Mark Roberts and Sally Morgenthaler and all these just amazing people that just make your head spin, Bruce Adolf, and, you know, it just goes on and on. And I took a job working over in Christian publishing, did that for a while in Southern California. And then it wasn't until I met Ryan Dahl of our Praise Charts, which we became pretty good friends. And he just said, hey, you know what, how about you write a book on it and we'll come alongside you and help. And that was just amazing. So it took a year to put that out, went back to Maranatha, and it was like, okay, this is, and Maranatha was kind of like crumbling at that point. But then the commission with my board and my mentors was like, okay, we're now ready to do this. And so we started the journey, Worship Team Training, back in 2004, and had been doing it ever since. And the landscape has changed so much within training and music. And you just can't, I don't even begin to keep up anymore because it doesn't matter. I just keep my nose down and do what I'm supposed to do. And if music is no more for me and training is no more or whatever is no more, then so be it, then I've done my job. So here we are, 2021, and things are not like they were a year ago. They're not like they were 2 years ago. And we're just having a lot of fun with it. And just like everybody else, we're trying to find out the new path that's being carved. And okay, God, which direction are we supposed to go? And you just jump in and do it. So here I am.
Yeah.
Yeah. Well, let me, if you don't mind, David, I'll jump in real quick. There were a couple of questions that popped up. And I know that it would be irresponsible for us not to talk about the past year, but I actually want to go back. You used the word failures a couple of times, and also that your onboarding to worship leading is very similar to my own, which is, oh, you play an instrument and you can sing, therefore you have been elevated to this position that you did not request.
Right.
As I reflect on, as I was stumbling around and trying to figure out how to lead worship and what that meant. I didn't even know the term worship leader when I was, indoctrinated. But I'm curious, as you reflect on some of those things that make you, when you wake up at night and you go, oh, I can't believe I did that. Is there anything from a worship leading perspective that you go, oh man. And I, normally this would be like the last question we ask, but I'm interested just your journey there.
Man, where do I start? it's like, I think that's every worship leader's question. I mean, I remember times, of course, like the typical, you start the song in the wrong capo. You start the wrong line entry at the chorus when it should have been the verse, you know, or the camera wasn't on. There was a time when, before loops were invented, I remember a time that I used to sequence all the music, and we made our own backing tracks. And I remember I had some of the people in our band start the tracks to play along with it. And I remember one track in particular, we were doing just some old school worship. And then I'm not sure who did it, but it just happened. And the button tripped, and we were supposed to do like, you know, these old songs, but instead of it sounding new, the button was clicked and it went to this Caribbean style sound of Lord, I Lift Your Name on High. And like, it went off like by itself. And, you know, it was like, everyone was kind of just, the stillness happened, that awkward, bad pain moment. And we just stood there, and I just let a few bars pass until like our keyboard has shut it off, and I just looked around and all right. And I just kept on playing, just went right to the next song without even saying anything about it. And you know, you have the awkward, some people in the band are kind of like, is he going to say anything? And the congregation's like, is he going to say anything? And you know, I was encouraged long ago that when things like that are going to happen, mistakes are going to be made. It's not a question of if, it's more when and how much, and what do you do when they happen? And there were times like in high school, I started leading worship back then. And I remember I would get the deer in the headlights, and I would say, you know, well, okay, we're going to go to a Dear 11 song now. And yeah, this is really old, by the way. And I've been
trading my sorrows. Yeah.
Yeah, exactly. So, so you just learn how to roll the punches. And I had to get over that hump of, well, what will they think? And what will I look like? Or what do I look like in that moment? And I remember I had these great men that just came to me, and they're kind of like, you know what, Brandon? No one really cares. No one cares about what you do leading worship. And they didn't mean it in a bad way. It was kind of like, they don't care if you mess up. They don't care if you missed the B minor 7 chord. They don't even know what that is anyway. And I had to get over that and to realize that, yeah, you know what? If I'm leading worship and if I'm thinking that they're thinking about me, I have the wrong approach and I have the bad perspective in leading worship, because everyone's focus, including mine, should be on the Lord himself. So yeah, therefore, yeah. Great men came to me and they just said, you know what? If they're focusing on the Lord, then they have no complaints. But if they're focused on you by something that you've done in terms of being ill-prepared, well, then that is our responsibility and that is something that we need to take care of. So with all that being said, you just have to pull the dramatics away. We're just like everybody else. It doesn't mean that we're sloppy when we lead worship, but it also doesn't mean that we need to strive to perfection, because none of us will achieve that. It's more of a, you know, I remember Jeff Day, Jeff said this to me, which was so good. You know, he said, we strive for excellence by, you know, putting a target out there. And if somewhere along the way we hit that target and we're close to it, then awesome. And I think that was a great way to put it, because Psalm 33 tells us that we are to play skillfully and sing joyfully. And so you can't sing joyfully if you're not playing skillfully. And so the other way works around as well. You have to enjoy what you do. And if it's not maybe at the skill where you want it to be, then that's okay. Then there's always room for improvement, but that's what we're about. We're people in process, not progress.
Excellent.
Yeah. That you know, reminds me, and it kind of looks like you're a guitarist there by what's hanging on your wall behind you. So
tubas and trombones back here.
Yeah. I think the tuba is a very, you know, long missing instrument from
modern underutilized worship. For worship.
There is polka worship to be tried for. So.
Right. But you know, over the years, I've had similar conversations with, you know, team members of my own, and especially electric guitarists, and, you know, electric guitarists have this tendency to just really get so focused on gear and tone and trying to improve their tone. And I just remember one guy in particular just obsessed with his tone. And I said, look, man, I can barely hear. I'm a keyboard player, but I'm a professionally trained musician, and I can barely hear the difference between the two tones you're talking about. And I can guarantee you that 98.9% of the people in the congregation would have no clue that there's a difference between this, the, you know, a tube amp and the digital effects rack that you're talking about and using and trying to decide. And just, it's so easy for those things to become a distraction and take all of our focus. And it'd be so much better if you just focus on worshiping God while you're playing music and leading people right. In worship, then everything else is really below that. And so, yeah, those are really good words. Thanks for sharing those. Well, I wonder if you can summarize. I know all of us probably have a hard time summarizing our pandemic journey, our COVID journey, some of the things that, how your life has changed, your ministry has changed over the last year, and what you've learned as a result of that moving forward, what you're changing.
Yeah, sure. For us, we've been doing virtual stuff for a long time anyway. So we were already fit for the field and ready to go, but we didn't realize, of course, what we were getting into, like all of us didn't know what we're getting into. We've had a history of traveling, for me, traveling, you know, 30 dates out of the year, weekends, and depending on when we had children, that would drop off or whatever. And when 2020 came, I mean, you know, we started to have like 16 booking dates for churches. And what we do at worshipteamtraining.com, we go to private churches and we help with their worship team and leader and provide a Friday and Saturday of hands-on training to work with vocalists, musicians, and tech and so forth. So when 2020 came, we had 16 dates already that was, you know, in the pocket, and we're going for more. And then right when February hit, in fact, my wife and family, we got COVID and didn't know it. And we were sick for about a month and a half. We had the typical 99 degree fever for 2-3 weeks. We were running into the ER and about 5-6 times. And we were just reminiscing of all things over Easter about this yesterday. And I remember that time a year ago where we were, and we were in the hospital, and they didn't have any COVID testing. So there was no way of knowing at that time if it was COVID or not. And so we had it, you know, we got out of that, and it was just like, man, you know, we had to take off so much already. And I had to take off a lot of time from our church. And when we got back, that's when we started seeing everything changing. Like our own services at our church was, we were starting to close them out, and then across the country. And then we had all of our dates canceled for worship team training. And it was just like, wow, well, maybe, you know, we pushed them off, like, and we thought, well, maybe we'll come back in September or something. So we called all of our churches and said, hey, it's, you know, July right now, let's push it back to September. And it just never came. It just got worse and worse. And then we're doing more online services than ever. And we're having more online meetings. And for worship team training, it didn't change too much. We have a university site that you can find on worshipteamtraining.com. It's called WTTU.co, and it's Worship Team Training University. So we put all of our videos, is what you said earlier, David, that we had on YouTube. We moved them all to the university site. And that was kind of normal for our folks. So we have a good 200, you know, members that follow. And so it was not a bad deal for that. But not going out to another church and not flying out, that was weird for me, because that's something that we're used to. But it got so good for our family, and that became the focus. And I had to just come to the point of, you know what, as we're in this moment right now, what's most important? Not besides just not getting sick and protecting us, but what about our family? I didn't realize how much time I just need it back with my family and to restore that. And that became my priority. So some of our friends out there may have remembered that, you know, we were doing shows just like this in the thousands every day and every week. And I got to the point where, and this is way before COVID, it just got to the point where, you know what, I need to stop and focus on family and priority, because it was eating up so much of me. And since I've done that, I've just got a renewed sense and source of strength and priority, what the things that really matter, not the worship trends and traveling, all that stuff just doesn't matter. So I think COVID overall does the same thing. It did the same thing for us again, two times over, where we're like, okay, what really does matter when we're leading worship? What really does matter when it comes to my own family and not leading worship? And I think COVID has been used by God to be the one of the greatest teachers for us at this time, where you realize that spending time at home and having a little distraction of your five-year-old knocking things over during a video call, and we would get so bothered by little things like that, it's become the norm where now you embrace it. You know, I want our 12-year-old to, well, I'm sorry, 10-year-old to run through the room, you know, about his Legos or whatever. And because you're never going to get these times back. So I think leading worship now, it should renew us as the landscape has changed when we do enter back. And some of you have already been re-entering the worship space, doing live services now. It should renew our whole sense of what are we doing here, and going back to the basics of worship, not getting so trapped up into the drum loop and the sequence and the set list that we chase every week and it never ends. Because when those things do end, what will you have left? Mm-hmm. How far would you have gone? And then what's your ROI after that's done? What can you look back and say that you've just built a really good weekly service, or that you've enlisted so many people in your ministry? But what have you done really for your family? What have you really done for investing in those that you lead in worship, for them to understand really more about what worship is and how that's become a quintessential growth to their spiritual walk? So these are the things I believe that we can walk away from or takeaways from COVID as we go into the new landscape.
Yeah. Yeah, that's good. And we're kind of already transitioning there. So let's move over and talk about worship team training and the resources you have there, and university mentoring, you know, workshops. There's a lot of stuff that you do. And one of the things that we're passionate about and always have been is equipping people in local churches. And there's a lot of stuff for bigger churches, and a lot of times bigger churches have a lot of resources available that smaller churches don't have, like we don't. But yours is a great resource for people in a smaller church to not just invest, like you said, in the set list and getting the task of worship leading done, but actually discipling people up in Christ and raising up worship leaders who do more than lead singing like we used to do. Remember the song leaders back in the day, and, you know, raising, conducting all that stuff, doing more than song leading, but actually worship leading. So maybe you could just kind of introduce us to that really quickly.
You bet. WorshipTeamTraining.com is our, you would say, live site for what we do, workshops, and people can sign up and get a workshop or mentoring. And also, we're going to be posting, because we had a new site change, and so we're still uploading new content to that site. To find other content, you want to go to WTTU.co. That's our university site. And if you go to the enroll tab, that gives you, there's a free subscription that you can sign up. So we invite all your listeners and followers that you got here on your Worship Catalyst site to come on over, check out, sign up for a free membership. There's highlighted articles, there's videos. We have our podcast that we do regularly every week, and also then some podcasts and studies. We have devotionals, and the training itself on your university site, we have weekly videos of training, much like this, but it's more one-on-one with me to talk about dissecting the worship service or how to strengthen your singers, those kind of topics. We have webinars that are unlimited. We also have guest interviews that come in. If, you know, we did a rebroadcast of Paul Balazs. Jared Anderson is on there. Different people that come on and speak. And we're also right now developing new courses that are going to have like we have a band studio on the East Coast. So they're right now, we're working on some hands-on film instruction for teaching guitar, drums, vocal, piano, so forth. And we're putting those in class, in a class form online that you can get on the site. So all that stuff and more you can get. And then once we come back to a norm of traveling and COVID is over, then we'll go back to the workshops. And plus, you can find all of our socials as well. We're on YouVersion. We've done a lot of devotionals on YouVersion. I've been a writer for them for a long time, and also Logos. And then we put out free content. I mean, we're also in Clubhouse now. In fact, we have a Clubhouse call coming up in just a few moments. So we try to, you know, put out a lot of tentacles because the needs are so great for worship teams and leaders. And what I found out is that there's different audiences. So you have a lot of different worship leaders that just hang out on Instagram or just hang out on TikTok or Twitter or Clubhouse. And so everyone's needs are different. We have a LinkedIn as well. And there's a lot of older worship leaders and younger worship leaders that we speak to often. And it's amazing how all the differences are so wide, but also the differences within COVID and what we're experiencing now. So you have a lot of this video driven services, but we have the live. And I think, you know, when it comes down to it, we just want to be a source for worship leaders and teams to know that they're valued, that they are encouraged to do what God's called them to do, to live life to the fullest, to learn how to be the leader that God's called them to be by being a worshiper first, and then a musician or a leader second, and everything else. So if we've done that and we can help people in those regards, then we've done our job.
Well, that's good. We're about out of time. So I don't know if you would share a final word of encouragement for our worship leaders and worship team members that are listening and maybe worn out. I know we've got some worship leaders and worship pastors who are exhausted after this year. How would you encourage them and send them out of here looking into the future in a positive way?
Thanks for that, David and Joe, for having me on your show. I really enjoy it. And this is just fabulous. I say that one of the best things that I can say is to take care of you first, to take care of you, because no one else in ministry is really going to look out for you more than you. And we try to keep up and do all everything that we can, but at some point you're going to run out of gas. And when you do, who's going to fill your tank? So filling your tank and keeping it filled throughout your long journey is really going to be key. Don't sweat the small stuff of what people say, the comments, the criticism, the negativity. It's really got no place, but you got to develop tough skin as a leader. And as you do it, God teaches you amazing things like grace and mercy to have to others and to show empathy when empathy is due. And that means even if it is looking people in the eye that may disagree with what you do, but God's called you to do what you are to do, and his voice matters, but so do the people that you lead. So it's learning how to, when scripture tells us in Proverbs 28, I think, to know the conditions of your flocks. You know, you have to know the condition of your heart also in order to lead that flock. And for you to be successful is really not about the weekend, the 1 hour event that you do weekly. It's more about the time that you give to your family first, because those are the people that matter first. As Titus reminds us, how can we take care of the household of God if we're not taking care of our own household first? Mm-hmm. And everything else that you do beyond that, you know, it really is about the Lord leading you and not you trying to lead your own ministry by yourself. So those are things that I keep close to my heart. That's what keeps me grounded every day. It's not always perfect. And also, don't be afraid to make a mistake. Don't be afraid to be vulnerable. Be yourself and let God make the ministry in that, because you'll find a lot more joy doing it that way instead of trying to string things through a camel, you know, to strain it through an eye of a needle, basically. You want to live life to the full and let God do it.
Well, this has been excellent. I definitely appreciate your time. It's one of these situations where I feel like if our time wasn't limited, this could go on in perpetuity.
I love it. Thank you.
We'll have to bring you back on, because there's questions that I had that I'd love to chat more about in terms of your journey and how you've pivoted. So
I'd love to be part.
Excellent. Well, thank you. And we are coming to a close, so we will be back in 2 weeks. But Brannon, what a blessing to have you here.
Thank you guys both for the opportunity and all of your followers. Really appreciate it. Thank you so much.
Well, it's our pleasure. Make sure you check out Worship Team Training and WTTU.co and sign up there if you're looking for some resources to train up your team. And until next time, have a wonderful, wonderful week, and we'll see you April 19th with another episode of the podcast.
Thanks for joining us once again on the Worship Ministry Catalyst podcast.
And make sure to add your voice to the conversation. You can find us at twitter.com/WMCatalyst.
On Facebook at facebook.com/WorshipMinistryCatalyst.
Or head over to worshipministrycatalyst.com and drop us a note.